Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now back to Vontae, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Going out to the phone lines to talk to our main man, former 49ers Super Bowl champ, had to pick six that rock candlestick park against the Dallas Cowboys. Also has a podcast on the Bleav Network with my guy Rayshon Haylock down in Southern California. Rayshon, what up? Eric Davis here on 95.7 The Game, two-time Pro Bowler and three-time All-Pro. ED, what's happening, man?
You know what? Just living a dream, man. That's it. Just living the dream. How about you, fellas?
Oh, man, we're trying to do the same thing here as we try to fight through this pandemic, and we do have sports back, and training camps are now opening across the country here, and the Niners are back in camp coming off of that Super Bowl loss, and we're just talking about Trent Williams and Nick Bosa and kind of reminiscing about Super Bowl 54. Why would we do that, right? Why would we want to bring up old stuff? But here we are, ED, and looking at the 2020 season, what are your expectations? Is it a kind of basically taking a catchphrase from when you played with the 49ers? Is it a Super Bowl or bust type of season for the Niners?
Well, this is you had an opportunity. It's a good football team. It's a very good football team. You had an opportunity to win a championship. You didn't close the deal. So here you go. You got to see where you are. I would think that everyone should start the season with the expectations of winning a championship. That's what I was taught when I was in those colors. That should be the mindset. That should be the standard. But for some teams, that's not realistic because you don't have the locker room. You don't have the dudes. They have the damn dudes in that room. So, yeah, it's one of those things where your expectation should be to win a championship and compete. Now, the only thing I have about it, I wish they stopped with all this revenge tool crap. That right there is nonsense. You can't revenge that L. You took an L. There's no revenge. There's nothing. There's one season has nothing to do with the next. Trent Williams is not upset. He's not in revenge mode. He wants to go out and win a championship, but that had nothing to do with him. That had nothing to do with Kinlaw. That had nothing to do with BA. So, that right there has nothing to do with it. Richard Sherman said it best. Come in, reestablish what you are about, who you are, prove to yourself and your teammates that standard that you set is the floor. That's it. We don't know what your ceiling is, but that's the floor. So that should be the mindset, and that's what I'm looking at. It's a talented group that should compete for a championship. So don't screw it up.
ED, this offseason is like one we've never seen. And yeah. I got to ask you, because you know what it takes. You played the game. No preseason, ED. You got two rookies, Kinlaw and Ayuk, and your Trent Williams on a new team. Is that going to affect the time that they get to jail before they play their week one football game against Arizona?
Well, number one, this is what my belief. When guys were talking about, you know, even – making the team or and things like that. For number one, you go into training camp, they already know they have 45 of those 53 positions already picked out. If not, you're a bad team. You're a bad club. So that part of it is done. You make the team at practice. Things are scripted. Things are you can put guys in uncomfortable situations. You can figure out what a guy can and cannot do during practice because you have enough talented guys around to see how this guy can do that, how individual players can compete. You can put guys in situations. Those decisions are confirmed, or there is affirmation with the preseason game. So missing the preseason games is not that much. So guys can gel. Because, like I said, the camaraderie, the gelling, the work is going to be done at practice. You get a whole lot more done during that time. Because guys were talking, someone asked me about the preseason games and how will that not affect you. I'll be honest with you, man. My last few years with the Niners, I was going to play a series. I'd get in three plays. George would never let us be out there as starters. He would never let us be out there more than 10 plays. Are we really playing in a preseason game? You know?
Right.
So we didn't play in them. We didn't do it. And I can tell you, true, my goal, my entire goal, and I accomplished it, my next to last year with the Niners, I accomplished it. My goal was to not touch the ground during preseason, and I did it. I went through two-a-days and preseason, and I didn't touch the ground, and I was proud of that.
Eric, I love that. I absolutely love that. Number 25 for the Niners. Sherman's wearing number 25 these days. I'm curious, you know, he had a great year last year. Great year last year. I love Richard Sherman. I love everything he's about, and I'm on board with all that. I'm just curious. There's been a lot of chatter, and people are questioning whether the guy still got it. Do you think Sherman still got it to be an elite all-pro or Pro Bowl type of a cornerback?
Guys, when Sherm was first released, when all the things went down in Seattle, who was one of the first guys beating on that drum? Get him here. Me. Who was one of the guys that reached out directly to Sherman and said, come wear 25 and win a championship in it. Put on the colors. Me. I said, Sherman wasn't broken. He was injured. And once he gets healthy, he will be the same Sherm. He's not old. The guy starting his 10th year, I believe. Sherm knows how to play. He is the last person that I'm concerned with. Do I think he's going to play well? Yes. I was asked, who am I most excited to see? It's Sherm. I want to see if he can continue to just do that because he's now a couple years removed from his injury. I think he's going to be fine. He's not old. I know from being that age and playing the game that his body hasn't shut down. Guys are freaking out about, just the long speed and guys making plays on and down the field. That's going to happen. whether you are 22 or 32, you are going to step up with the guy that's as fast or faster than you. And if you get yourself in a bad position, they're going to get you. They're pros. It's going to happen. A guy who's not remotely as fast as you can beat you if you get yourself out of position. And it's just, technique thing. Sherm understands that, how to fix it. I think he's fine, even though I'm still hoping the day comes when he moves to free safety. I think he can be a great free safety, and I think the secondary could help the secondary tremendously. But I'm not worried about Sherm, man. I'm not worried about him.
Eric Davis here on 95.7 The Game, former Super Bowl champ with the 49ers, of course, host of the Believe 49ers podcast with Rashawn Haylock on the Believe Podcast Network. ED, just looking at Jimmy Garoppolo, this offense now. Debo Samuel's going to be out a couple weeks, probably with that Jones fracture. That injury can linger. You talked about B.A., Brandon Ayuk out of Arizona State. I'm eager to see Jalen Hurd. I think he could be really physical and an X factor for this offense. But looking at the quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo, we talked a lot about him in the offseason. What's the next phase for him in his game? What's the next thing he needs to work on to be that quarterback to where next offseason we're not saying, hey, go get Kirk Cousins, go get Tom Brady, go get Aaron Rodgers. What does Jimmy Garoppolo have to do next season to really debunk all those narratives that we all had this past offseason?
Well, first of all, who was saying that? Who was saying go get Kirk Cousins?
ED. Everybody was. Even Kyle Shanahan, kept talking about Kirk Cousins.
I tell you what, things like that, see, when you say that, that's not being in the Bay Area having to listen to that. Because that's crazy talk.
It is crazy.
Go get Kirk Cousins, stop it. So the next phase for Jimmy Polo is just understanding the offense and the way his coordinator, his play caller, Kyle Shanahan, sees it. That's the thing that I think what happens with guys when they get next level. When you, at a position, can think the way and see things the way your signal caller is seeing it. When you understand the offense to the point to where, you know, this is the next level of this, where you even understand the concepts, where okay, we're running this, and by design, we should be able to do this formation with this personnel grouping and get back to the same thing to affect the defense. That's the next step, where you're not just running the plays off of recall and the study from the coach implementing it and giving it to you. It's understanding that this is what the coach wants. This is why he wants it. And this is the best way of executing it. That's the next phase for every quarterback, for every player. You want to get to that point. I look at it on defense. I remember games playing on defense where literally Tim McDonald would have us in a huddle, I vividly remember a game we played the entire second half against Carolina in 95, and Tim said, "Don't look to the sideline." He made every defensive call the entire second half. Tim made them. He understood what was going, what was happening, how things need to be adjusted, and since the coordinator would do it, he did it himself. That right there is what I'm saying is the next level of player, and for Jimmy, is like you have really the guts to say, this is what's best. I'm going to change that call for this situation because you see something that you know at the moment the coordinator sees it, he's going to say, yeah, that's the way we need to attack them. But you see it before because you think the way the coordinator is. I think that's the next phase for Jimmy. Now that you understand the offense, you know the offense, how do you feel the offense?
So, Eric, I've got to ask you the number one question. What's going to end up happening with George Kittle? Are they going to get this deal done before the season starts or not?
It doesn't make – the only way you get a deal done before the season is if it's extremely team-friendly. The Niners don't have to sign Kittle right now. He's not going anywhere. He's not. He's under a contract. He's under a contract for a couple more years. The salary cap is going to be reduced. How much space do you want to take from it? Kittle, I'll give you. He's the best tight end in football. Okay, great. He's the best tight end in football. We'll pay you like the best tight end in football. Okay, we can make you the highest paid in football. I will give you $11 million because the highest paid is getting $10 million. Where you're talking about this 15, 20, can't do that. Can't do that because you don't know where the salary cap is going to be. And remember, everything that you give him over the going rate for tight ends, which is $10 million right now, is salary cap room that you're taking away from the other positions. So do you want to keep Trent Williams? Think about it. How important is he going to be moving forward? Because everything
Good point.
Give, every million that you give to Kittle above, I think, 10 something like that. So let's just say anything above $11 million, so $15 million, that's $4 million of cap space that you have taken from a position that no one else in the league is giving tight end. So you are affecting how you're going to do business down the road. So if Kittle wants a contract, we can give you a contract, but since you were coming in early and you want to do it, we'll make you the highest paid. But it's got to be in that 11, 12, 13 max, in my opinion, because I'm giving up extra salary cap room because I can set the market, but I can't reset it that much knowing that those other positions are going to go up. Look at what Joey Bosa just got. You're about to, in a couple of years from now, you're going to have a $120 million guarantee to your pass rushers.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Yep. So the tight end position is not a position that has to be paid that much, so you better not do it.
E.D., we saw Kyle Shanahan get a new deal. I thought he was deserving. Mm-hmm. I think he's the best offensive play designer in the game. And I almost want to call him a genius, E.D., because there's so much stuff going through his mind. When something's working, for me, he has a tendency to go away from it. Is there anything on the checklist for Eric Davis that Kyle Shanahan has to improve on?
Oh, he's not finished. That's all. He's got to win it. I really like Kyle. I think he's, very, very good at what he does. You've seen it. As far as the contracts, I don't know. I want to point out one thing that we all have lost track of, and everyone's been talking about it, and even when I hear that teams are now drafting and going into free agency to beat the Niners and chasing the Niners. Guys, the Niners have had one winning season since Cap took him to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They had one winning season.
Yeah.
Kyle Shanahan's record as a head coach is what?
Under 500.
Wow.
We got to pump the brakes on some of these things. We really do, because I know we all get caught up in the moment and we're a slave to it. And I get how, the social media society is. But let's just go some back. Let's get some back-to-back winning so that your philosophy has been cemented and finished. Because at the end of the day, they lost last season.
ED,
let's get a win.
ED, I thought Shanahan was nervous. I thought he was nervous in that Super Bowl. Mostert didn't get a carry to the second quarter, the end of the first half. Whether or not I believe they should have called a timeout. I don't know if you're on the – you guys with Steve Young or even whether it was Joe Montana. Bill Walsh or George Seifert, they're calling the timeout to get the ball back and try to score before halftime. And then just the last sequence of plays, I thought Shanahan had better days in Super Bowl 54, man. He wasn't on his game.
Okay, well, I'm going to say this about that. That first of all, Kansas City's defense was playing a lot better. Everyone looks at the rankings. I say all the time, numbers lie. The way that defense plays the last 6 weeks of the season, they were as good as anyone. And I'd say the last six leading up to the Super Bowl, that stretch right there, they played as well as any defense in the league. And the other thing about it, he had a two-score lead in the fourth quarter. Shanahan, I in no way blame the Super Bowl on Shanahan. I don't think he was nervous. I think that he called an offensive game plan that put them in charge. At the end of the day, he dialed up a play that even after the defense had given up those 21 points in the fourth quarter, if you connect on Sanders, you'll probably win the game. Kyle Shanahan is not the reason they lost the game. Defense is the reason they lost the Super Bowl. Mm. Right? People got to stop putting that on Garoppolo. You got to stop putting that on play calling. You had half a quarter left, two-score lead. You can't be the number one defense in the league and give that up. That's not on offense.
That's real. ED, so good to catch up with your brother. Hopefully you're safe. We will do it again soon as the season gets cranked up. I'm loving this fact that we're going to go straight to week number one. Straight to week number one, like it's an NCAA. I cannot wait. And we'll see the Arizona Cardinals out here in the Bay Area with their new toy, DeAndre Hopkins, alongside Kyler Murray and Larry Fitzgerald. ED, stay safe, brother. Tay Rashawn, we say hello.
I will do that. Take it easy, fellas.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.